through? What did I say? What was I thinking? How did that happen? And you go, oh, but if not God. Did I walk to the funeral home or did somebody roll me in? Who preached? What songs were sung? I kind of forgot. If not for God, we walk through the tough times. He is my strength. God, Pete, when you said that, I like to jump out of my skin. Whew, that is a good word. He is my strength. Watch this right here. In whom I will trust. Every bank in the history of banks tries somehow to put trust on their name. Amen? You know why? Because what they want you to do is they want you to be able to trust what you put in to their possession. You can trust us. Amen? But guess what? God says He is my trust. What I have given him, what he has given me, and then what I've given him, he is able to hold. There's not a whole lot of things in this world I can trust in. I can trust in Jesus Christ. Boy, you know what? I know it's in the vault. I know that FDIC can't cover what Jesus can cover. Amen? They can only hit a certain level. Jesus has got my whole soul. He's got it written in a book. He's got it covered. And then he's got it in the palm of his hand. And then he said, there's another double layer. Then my Father wraps it in his hand. We're in a double layered system that we can't even get out. And he said, no man can pry you out of my hand. Whew. I trust in that. Amen? That's good. That's a good word, trust. My buckler, that's that shield that goes on your arm. That used to be my favorite one when I was a young Christian. That's why I said this is involving for me. When I preached 10 years ago, I'd say that buckler, that's my favorite one because you slide your hand in the shield. You don't know where the shield ends, your hand begins. You strap that thing on your arm and you're just blocking the fiery darts of the devil. Amen? And then I got a little older and I found out that sometimes Christianity just ain't that cool. It ain't. I love what Ed said. This ties into the message too, just beautifully. That buckler and shield is absolutely true, and the relationship between us and Christ is unidentifiable. You don't know where he is and where you end, and it's all wrapped in together, and it doesn't fall off, and you can break the fiery darts. If you'll pay attention, the darts will come in, and you can break them, amen. But I hate to tell you this, there's going to be some that make it in, because you're going to miss, or you're not going to see it, or you're going to let your guard down. And you're going to let some people, God, this is good preaching. We're going to let some people slide by and get inside the shield. We've done it. Somebody comes in, we didn't pray about it. Somebody comes into our lives and our family. Somebody's dating so-and-so. We didn't do it. We didn't pray. We didn't think. We're just going along to get along. Next thing you know, you've took a fiery dart. Amen. And that's where you're at. You're laying in the floor, spiritually bleeding out. And that's when you cry out to Jesus and you say, help me. That's the best prayer I've got. I don't have a bunch of high-functioning prayers. I temporarily get down. When I get all of my words run out, I go, God, help me. I don't know what to do. And he does. What's this right here? The horn of my salvation. God, if you don't get this, David is constantly repeating the fact that his salvation is in God's hands, not his own. The horn is power, strength. The strength of your salvation. The power of your salvation is in God. Amen. What it means is this. It's not in your strength, it's in his. He holds the power of your salvation. Amen. It was him on the cross, died for your sins. You put your trust and faith in him, and he is the power which holds you in faith. Amen. Everything you couldn't do, he did. Everything you wouldn't, he was. And when you believe and see who he was, and you believe in that, and you confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart, you are saved. Guess what? Then he becomes the horn of your salvation. Who go, how do you say saved? I am in Christ Jesus, the horn or the power of my salvation. David, I love the Bible. The Bible is the best. Listen, it's not only a historical book, it's a book of truths, amen? And guess what? The only the truth of it is, it gives you the good and the bad of people. If this book was just all good stories of how great men never slipped and failed after they met God, I would sit there and be suspect of it. But God puts these men's weaknesses and failures and blunders and huge mistakes. Man, if I was God, I would have left David's whole story of Bathsheba out of the book. I would have said, no, let's not ruin the king that the lineage of Christ is going to come through by telling the dirt on him that he was an adulterer and a murderer and a bribe, somebody who was trying to buy his way out of the trouble. And let's not tell those stories. But God said, I want to tell you the story because I'm not in love with the man. I'm in love with the man's soul. And every time we read the Bible, we see David is a man after God's own heart. And we almost made David God. But what it meant was David didn't have a heart like God had. It meant that his heart, his mind, pursued God in his success and in his failures. Some of y'all are going, wait a minute, how did he pursue God in his failures? Just like we do. When it's brought to our attention by a word, amen, or by the Spirit of God, or by revelation, then you know what you don't do? You don't turn to everybody else. You don't try to get fixed with everybody else. You come running to Jesus and you say, I know what the problem is. Sin. And I need to get that right with you. Amen. Do y'all get that? Golly. Man, it's hard to get out of this stuff. I'm trying to get to the place where I came to preach about the invasion part. So, in my high tower. The high tower is pretty tricky. I've never preached this one before, but the high tower ultimately gives you a place of safety, but a place of vision. Amen? A place to run into God, to hide from the enemy, but also, if you get into the tower, you can look out, and sometimes you can see past the little trouble that's in front of you to see that there is an end coming that's better. Amen? Well, that's good. Amen? Listen, I want to preach to somebody right here real quick. If you're not careful, now start applying these things in your life. Just don't hear this message. Apply this. Sometimes we run into Jesus because we're in trouble, we're hurt, we're mad, we're upset, we've lost, whatever the case may be. We're grieving, we've been in, whatever it is. Something's happened in our life that we don't agree. The enemy has attacked. We run into God, but then we don't get into a place where we can see what God's doing. And we don't ride it out with God. We get into a place of hiding with God. And we never look to move on with God. And next thing you know, we start falling away from God because we're mad because we never look for what's going to be better. Amen? The tower is to look out and say, wait a minute. I know the enemy's attacking me now. I know I'm in trouble now. But how am I going to serve God 3 years from now? How am I going to stay in this? I have seen people come into this chapel, into this sanctuary who should not have been here. Went through things in their life, and I thought they probably won't come back. They're just gonna be out there for a while. And they come back Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday. And I'm going, you know what? The healing comes. Because they got in a place where they were hurting, the enemy did attack, but they could see some hope coming. Amen. I don't know what it looks like 3 years from now, but if I stay around with God, it'll get better. I believe it. Amen. Are y'all ready? We're about to get the invasion part and I'll close. What's this? This is so good. Listen, let me just slow this down and just teach it the way I want to teach it. You are absolutely, positively going to need this right here. If you don't put this, let's act like we're Batman right now. Sure, I know, Batman. I don't like Batman. I'm a Superman guy. Okay, Batman. But he had a utility belt. Okay? I want you to just pretend like you got a utility belt on. And one of the pockets on your utility belt, this is where you're going to need this. So put this in your utility belt. Ha ha. Some of y'all got that. Some of y'all, I don't know. Didn't have a good childhood, I guess. Let me go a little bit further before I get through out of here. All right, what's true? I'll call it. Look. All right, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Okay, verse 4. The sorrows, now look at this right here. The sorrows of death compassed me. And the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. The invasion happened. These words compassed are like movements of the enemy. Amen? They started moving in. Death, let's go. The enemy started moving in. Hell started moving in. Death started moving in. Golly, I'm trying to preach to you right here. If you're not careful, sometimes in life, the enemy will start a barrage and he'll start to move, invade in your mind and in your spirit that you're going to die, that you're going under. This is what got your mama. This is what got your daddy. This is what got your family. Amen? That's going to come. Then you got this other. The enemy's going to come in. However he attacks. Finances, mental stuff, whatever. Depression, anxiety, wherever it comes in, it's going to come in. And what David said, he said, I see they're making ground. They're coming in. Listen, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on right now. They're making ground on me. In my mind, they're getting into the spots. They're getting into the spaces in my mind where I'm not thinking of anything. I'm not thinking of Scripture. I'm not praying. I'm not thinking of things that God has done. I'm more conceptual about hell, about dying, about sickness, and about the attack of the enemy than I am what God's doing. Amen? And listen, you are going to be there. Amen? But look at verse 6 with me. Let's pull this apart. Oh, this is so good. Just let this wash over. You got to need this. In my distress. Did you see that? Not in my joy, not in my happiness, not when everything's going, not when everything, hallelujah, praise God, run. In my distress, when you're surrounded, when it seems like you're going under, when the enemy has gotten so much ground on you, I called upon the Lord. Hey, Jesus. Hey, God. And cried unto my God. Help me. The enemy, if they get close enough, if they get that far in on you, in your mind, in your spirit, if they get that close to you, you know what the first thing they're going to tell you to do is? Don't seek the Lord. That's it. When the enemy comes in and he's attacked you like that, in every aspect, it's going to say it's too late. Don't talk to God. Why do you think he don't want you to talk to God? Verse 6, watch this right here. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. He heard. He answered. Relief is coming. An answer is coming. Peace is coming. Joy is coming. The light's coming. Golly, bum. Listen, the darkness has to flee when Jesus shows up. The enemy has to retreat when he comes in. So guess what is going to happen? When these things do happen, and they will happen, he's going to say, don't go back to church. Go! Because most of you came tonight, and you were like, I don't know if I'm... Tonight, you're going to go home, on your way home, in your cars, you're going to say it in your spirit, man, I'm glad I went to the house of the Lord tonight. Golly, I got more than I bargained for. Pray, God, the enemy, that is the enemy don't want you to talk to God. You can almost do anything else. When you start praying, you'll get sleepy, you'll get invaded, you'll get distracted, you'll get a visitor, you'll get somebody, can I have something to eat? Pray. It'll be something. Praise God, if we'll start taking back some ground though, those grandkids and those kids of yours and everybody else, if they'll find out when mama's praying or grandmother's praying, when she's praying, if you go bother her, she'll jank you in there and pray for you. She'll lay hands on your mouth and start praying for you. Amen? I'm serious, because you know what? That's what the enemy wants to do. Amen? He wants to stop you from talking. So guess what you got to do? You got to start talking to Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds like that new song, got to talk to you. You do. You just got to start talking to him. Talking to him. Talk to him like a real live best friend. Like somebody who knew everything about you, every bad thing about you, every horrible thing about you, not every deed that you've done, but everything you even thought about doing. And loved you anyway and adopted you anyway. Put you in the family of faith anyway. Calls you a child anyway. Calls you a son anyway. Calls you a friend anyway. You talk to him like that. I got to start some of my prayers right like this. Jesus, you know me. You know me. I sit here many times. My mom's go, you know me. You knew I was going to act up. You knew I was going to say, you know, forgive me and help me not to do it next time. Read your Bible. The best people to ever preach to is people who read their Bible. Amen? The enemy, what he wants you to do is he wants you to say things like this the rest of your life. Boy, the preacher said that. Our preacher said this. Who cares what your preacher said? Do you know what he said? Is it true or not? Amen? Because you know what makes good preaching? People who know what the Bible says. Because that's easy to preach to. Amen? But you know what? I don't want somebody to always have to, here comes the choo-choo train. Open up. Open. Here comes the airplane. Pray. I'm not trying to make all you mad. I'm just saying this. Pray God. Sometimes feed yourself. Praise God. Let me go to Texas Roadhouse with you and let me feed you two bites of steak. Then you'd be like, hey, preacher, stop. Amen. Oh, here comes the choo-choo train. You'd be like, stop that. We're in public and you're an idiot. Right? All right, so guess what? This Bible right here is a steak. There's meat in it. It'll change your life. Praise God, get into it. There'll be things that come out to you because of the perspective you have, the life you've lived, the way you look at things, the perspective you have. It'll jump off the page at you and you'll go, my gosh, the preacher's never preached that. And I'll be like, yeah, I haven't, because that's a different perspective. He put it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because guess what? That was four guys watching the same thing happen from a different perspective on life, and every one of them come up with details that the other one didn't see because their lives were different, but it's the same story. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Goodness, that's what we're